Hello, my name is Josie Briggs. I'm editor-in-chief of the Journal of the American Society of Nephrology. It's my privilege each month to highlight a few exceptional papers to talk about. I know many of you who listen to these podcasts are also members of the American Society of Nephrology and subscribers to the journal. We time these short podcasts to be released at about the time the latest issue of JASN will arrive in your mailbox. I hope these short introductions will inspire you to rip the plastic cover of your copy off and look at the interesting work we are publishing. Today I'm going to talk about four papers that illustrate the incredible range of work in the pages of the journal. I like to think, no matter what aspect of nephrology you are interested in, there's something in JASN for everyone in the issue. First paper I'd like to tell you about is about kidney disease and lead. In the next few issues of JASN, we are publishing a series of papers that address the racial and ethnic disparities in kidney disease. In this series, we are working to identify factors that can be fixed. What can we do about it? Not just observational work, but work that isolates or clarifies issues that are vulnerable or capable of being changed. The first in this series on racial and ethnic disparities is in this October issue. It's a paper by Danziger and co-workers that examines whether exposure to low levels of lead, commonly found in drinking water, has adverse effects. Using data from patients initiating dialysis in the U.S. over the last 15 years, Danziger et al. Found that those living in cities with higher water lead levels had significantly lower hemoglobin levels and more need for erythropoiesis-stimulating agents. These associations were observed at lead levels significantly below those that the U.S. government and the EPA mandates as actionable. The authors also observed the incredible environmental inequities, finding significantly higher water lead levels among Black versus white patients. This analysis suggests that safe levels of lead in drinking water may be very low for patients with kidney disease. Patients with kidney disease have particular vulnerabilities to a variety of environmental hazards. In a strong related editorial, Drs. Nigris and Navas-Acien address these persistent racial inequities in lead exposure in public drinking water, and they remind us that they are morally outrageous. It's a very powerful editorial. I hope you'll look at it and read it with interest. Another paper of relevance to health policy is the study by New et al., which examines the impact of dialysis facility closure. For a variety of reasons, some related to reimbursement policy, some related to dialysis provider priorities, closure of dialysis facilities is pretty common in the U.S. The effects of such closures on the health outcomes of patients is not known. New et al. Examined the association among dialysis facility closures and rates of hospitalization and death with carefully matched populations. Hospitalization rates of patients affected by dialysis facility closures in the time period between January 01 and April 2014 were 7 to 9% higher compared with matched patient population receiving care at facilities that did not close. These findings highlight strongly the need for effective policies that will continue to mitigate the risks associated with facility closures. Another important paper in the October issue addresses a COVID-related issue. As I think our readers know, our listeners know well, acute kidney injury is a common complication of COVID-19, especially associated with severe disease. The mechanisms behind the association are complex, But in general, the consensus has developed that the primary reason for AKI is not direct infection of the kidney cells by the virus. Attempts to detect the virus in urine have been quite inconsistent, but using the best current available methods, Cauceres et al. Consistently quantified the amount of SARS-CoV-2 genome that is in cells of urine sediments from a sample of severely ill COVID-19 patients. They found that viral load in urine sediment was higher in the 2 weeks following the AKI event, and it correlated with increased risk of death. But importantly, infective SARS-CoV-2 was not detected in urine sediments. So viral load in urine correlates with outcome, but urine is unlikely to be an important vehicle for disease transmission. And the last paper I want to talk about addresses the proximal tubular kidney fibrosis. This is a study by Liu et al., and it illustrates the power of the relatively new method of single-cell nuclear RNA sequencing, a technique that allows detection of the transcriptome of individual renal cells. Proximal tubule cells are numerically the predominant cell type of the kidney and are critical to whether injury results in regeneration or organ fibrosis. However, variations in their phenotype and their response to a disease insult are not well characterized. Liu et al. Used single nuclear RNA sequencing to reveal proximal tubule cell phenotypes, both in normal mouse kidneys and in kidneys undergoing regeneration and fibrosis for following erysipelagic acid exposure. They found 5 abundant and 4 renal rare proximal tubule cell phenotypes, with abundant clusters that could be mapped to different tubular segments, and rare phenotypes that were either proliferative, dedifferentiated, or fibrosis associated. These data reveal unrecognized heterogeneity in the proximal tubule response to injury. Exciting methods are illustrated on the cover of this month's issue. So I hope you'll find something of particular interest to you in the October issue of JASN. We think we are publishing some very exciting science. Thank you for listening.
This podcast is copyrighted by the American Society of Nephrology. All rights reserved. All content in this podcast is for informational purposes only and is not intended to be medical advice. This podcast should not be used in a medical emergency or for the diagnosis or treatment of any medical condition. Please consult your doctor or other qualified healthcare provider if you have any questions about any medical condition or before taking any drug, changing your diet, or commencing or discontinuing any course of treatment. Thank you for listening to this podcast from the American Society of Nephrology.